low win rates, excessive discounting, challenging negotiations. Welcome to the Sales Readiness Podcast, a podcast brought to you by the Sales Readiness Group. We're an industry-leading sales training company that helps businesses develop highly effective sales organizations. This podcast is about one question: how to transform your team into peak performers. If you want the answer, keep listening. If you want it faster, visit salesreadinessgroup.com/podcast.
I really want to get into our topic for today, which is starting with the agenda. We all know that the coronavirus has created a number of challenges for all of us. People are working from home. Deals are stuck in the pipeline. It's a pretty challenging environment, but I actually think that the physical distancing is actually resulting in people looking for other ways to connect, thus the session we're running today. Why sales coaching now? What's always been important? We'll cover why now and why always. We'll have a discussion around good coaching and bad coaching and what that looks like, how you develop your coaching culture and mindset, and maybe some subtleties for the current environment. Key areas you can develop your team and ways to do that right now while they're working from home. And then we'll summarize some key takeaways. So I'll get us started a little bit on just some of the challenges associated with the coronavirus, and then turn it over to Ray on why sales coaching now. So as we all know, sales teams, for the most part, are working remotely. Their lives have been disrupted. Everybody has, you know, a lot of other things going on, concern about coronavirus. Maybe they're working with their children at home who are going to school. Maybe they have elderly parents. Maybe they actually know someone who's ill. So a lot of things going on in people's lives. From a business standpoint, sales opportunities are stalled. There's not always clear next steps. Deals that we thought were going to close maybe towards the end of Q1 are still lingering into Q2 with no clear next steps. And the way we relate to people needs to change. We can't, you know, even we think about how we relate to a customer, ask them when they're going to have budget and when they're going to buy probably isn't going to be received very well. It's going to, they're going to tune that out. And of course, coaching being more important than ever. And so let me turn it over to Ray. And Ray, can you just give us a few thoughts on why sales coaching now?
Yeah, absolutely, Norman. And I think it is interesting to look at the challenges. And, you know, we've been having the discussions again over the last, you know, month or so about there was before Corona, and that world is kind of gone, frankly. We're in this during Corona world where we're adjusting, we're adapting. And we have to start really thinking about, well, what do we take from here forward? And, you know, optimistically thinking about the post-corona or after-corona world. So I think the idea of coaching is never more important, maybe even more important today, just because of some of those challenges you mentioned. I was actually on a call this morning with one of our clients in Europe, a large medical device manufacturer, talking about how important coaching is from a standpoint of motivation as well. You know, our reps have even greater challenges with access. They're probably getting more no's. You know, if we're counting the typical leading metrics, they're probably off, and that's challenging. So what can we do to connect with them and really move forward? So we know that our reps are struggling. They may be struggling to hit the numbers. They have unique challenges. And so coaching opens up that conversation and allows us to maybe ask the questions and really understand what's going on in their world, and also build that relationship even further, you know, empathy and trust just by listening and connecting today. So we kind of hit on this topic with the idea that, you know what, the coaching mindset doesn't change. The things that we're going to talk about today, and that's why we're doing this more as a training effort than a typical, you know, promotional webinar, is we think there are some skills that can be taught and reinforced today that are never more important. So focusing on those skills, you know, building that relationship. And also, as we have a pipeline that maybe is stalling or pushing out, deal coaching and opportunity coaching is absolutely critical. So everything we have there, helping the our reps move those forward or think about them strategically so that we can hopefully close whatever business we have in front of us. So I think those are some of the things, you know, as we think about why is this important today? And what can we be doing? So we wanted to, you know, kind of move forward and think about what's different about virtual coaching and even some tips that we can share, you know, that we've been leveraging and picking up from our team as well. So in terms of coaching from a traditional standpoint, it's just not feasible, obviously, to go out and ride along or do field visits, right? And even listening in, you know, maybe challenging, we're not in the same call center anymore if it was an inside sales team, or there are some unique challenges that that brings up. But there are ways that we can adopt and apply the coaching mindset and the skills, even in today's world. So think about pre-call coaching. So before a big opportunity, asking those questions, well, what do you think is going to happen? What's your objective for this call? What are you going to take away from this? And what's the customer action you're looking for? So there are a lot of coaching questions even beforehand that we can have a great coaching conversation, even if we're not there. Obviously, if we can join that virtual meeting, we can be there hopefully as a coach and not taking over the deal, but listening, maybe providing support, but then after the fact, talking about how did it go and what can we do going forward to continue to improve. A lot of great call technology these days. So listening to call recordings, if they're available, if we're not doing that, I think we should be. And even transcripts, you know, things like Gong and some of the other technologies that allow us to really analyze what's going on in those calls are great opportunities to then say, okay, look at these three calls. Let's have a coaching conversation related to what went right, what we can continue to do, and maybe some areas for improvement. I coined this as investigative coaching, but I liken that to coaching when we can't be there. But after the fact, if there was a big, say, sales presentation or proposal, we can still go through the coaching steps and say, well, what happened? What did you observe? You know, what did you like about that call? What did the customer do? Reflect on that. So tell me what you think about it. And what are you going to do going forward? So we can still use that same methodology. And then also, and Norman, I know you're a big fan of sales simulation. So that idea of, well, let's practice that, you know, maybe an objection came up. So let's role play that in our next meeting, or let's bring that up on our team meeting and practice that, or send me a video responding to that. So there's all sorts of things we can do in the virtual world around sales simulations. Any thoughts or comments on those as well, Norman?
Yeah, I think I would just say that, you know, right now, if I go back one slide, we talked about things will return to normal. I mean, we're all assuming that at some point, that, you know, things will get better. We'll have the coronavirus will, for the most part, you know, pass by. And so the idea of, you know, really using this opportunity to better connect with our own salespeople and just develop relationships built on trust. We're going to talk about trust in a few minutes. Really focusing on skills and using the investigative coaching and the practice to be able to practice is also really important. And then also just this idea of coming out of it with a very robust pipeline. We don't want to exit kind of this the coronavirus era with nothing in our pipeline. So I think keeping people actively engaged and participating is really important. And I know that you have some tips that you've put together on virtual delivery. So why don't you just kind of go through, if you would, some of the virtual coaching tips?
Yeah, so this is going to dive into the detail here a little bit. But we thought it'd be good to kind of set up, you know, the environment and think about that. So if you could advance to the next slide here. Yeah, so, you know, the first is, just as we're engaging with our customers differently using the virtual technology, whether that's GoToMeeting or Zoom or Teams, you know, whatever platform, we want that to be a great experience. So treating our reps like our customer, if we're the manager, and really making that engaging, we think that using video is really important to make that personal connection. And we would say become proficient, right, with that virtual the technology and the video platform. So I know internally, Norman, I mean, we've been practicing and doing our own lunch and learns on the technology and really testing the limits of some of the technology.
Not only internally, but also with customers. I mean, we're looking to create more on video. Occasionally I'll turn mine off because I'll put on glasses to read something, but I think we just have to get very comfortable in front of the camera and talking to people because we can't see them physically.
Absolutely. So I think, you know, getting comfortable, thinking about that environment, if we can't be there in person, it's the next best thing, right? Mm-hmm. So what can we do? And then, you know, some of the other tips, I mean, I'm a big fan of having two monitors. A lot of people, that's second nature, and others, you know, they're frankly used to just being on a laptop or on one monitor. But if you're trying to present, having two monitors, being able to extend the display where now you have your presentation, you're able to manage the environment, if you will, in one place, and the presentation or the details, or maybe it's a coaching plan in another place, gives you a lot more access and capabilities. So I'd encourage that. testing out the video and the audio. You know, I mean, internally, we're doing a daily stand-up call, and that's one of the things that we can do is to test audio and video and technology for that day, because things change. And sometimes people are in different rooms, or they're different headsets or different things. Well, you'd really want to test that out before you're in front of the customer. And if you're a manager, you want to test that out before you're on a really important coaching call with one of your reps. So we just say, hey, fix that, test that out, test the technology, get comfortable with it. And then this is a small one, but think about your lighting and the camera angle. You know, I can't tell you the number of times people have either a laptop low on the desk, or maybe they're even on their phone and it's looking up. And frankly, that's not a very flattering look. So the higher, you know, pro tip, but the higher you get your monitor up, the more it's going to highlight your face and probably make it a little bit more presentable. So whether it's with a customer or your reps, I think it's good to play around with that. If you are using two monitors, look at the monitor that has this camera on it, not at the monitor where you're presenting, because then they're looking at the side of your face. So just some of those things to make that connection. And then I'll give one other piece on virtual backgrounds, because we've gotten a lot of questions on this. You see people with great landscapes behind them, the San Francisco Bay Bridge, all of these beautiful things. That's great either if you have a green screen behind you, or if you have a high definition camera. But a lot of times when people try to do that, it looks like you're in the Matrix, right? And it gets all pixelated. Well, your camera doesn't support that feature, so that's not available. But at least try to clean up your background, or you know, be in a place that it doesn't. I mean, people are very understanding these days, but I think it is important to think about your environment, think about what they're seeing, and there's some options that then you can play around with. I'll just cover the last two. I'm a big fan of the mute button. And one pro tip, if you're using Zoom at least, is if you put yourself on mute but use the space bar, you can just use that like a walkie-talkie, right? So you can push that space bar to talk and then let it off and you're back on mute. So if you have kids in the background, barking dog, whatever, it's a great way to just only speak when, or only be off mute when you're speaking, and then go back on as long as you remember that. And then turn your pop-ups off and your alerts just so you're focused on that. Last thing, especially in a coaching conversation, somebody wants is you're distracted, you're checking email, you're checking your phone, just like we talked about active listening. Be there, be present, and focus in. So a lot there, but we thought we'd just run through some of the mechanics before we get into the other coaching tips.
No, I think, Ray, it's really, these are really good tips. A couple that I would just take away is you mentioned that we have the 9:45 every morning. We have a stand-up meeting with our team. This is predominantly going to be about individual coaching, but it's just a great tip. If you've got a distributed sales team and you could do a daily call where you bring everyone together, it does create a sense of collaboration. Make one comment about the technology. It's something we're all adjusting to, but for a relatively small investment, you can get a really nice webcam. You can get a second monitor. You can get a headset and really come across as doing it in a very professional way. Not that things won't go wrong. We even scrambled a little bit before today's meeting with some connectivity issues. That's just the nature of being remote, but doing everything you can to be as prepared as you can to deliver great coaching. I mentioned before that coaching's always been important, so I just want to bring up a couple of slides related to that. So we did a survey with Selling Power magazine. We looked at organizations, and we looked at what are the high-impact organizations. Those were over 75% of the sales team makes quota. What is it that those managers did differently or better? We have a white paper. You can get it off our website, or we'll have a, you know, a slide at the end where you can go to info@salesreadinessgroup.com. It's called the 5 hallmarks of high impact sales organizations. And the number one skill for a manager in terms of affecting sales performance is coaching. So during this time where people are at home, it's a great time to do some extra coaching. We provide you with some techniques, and just something you'll learn about that is high impact managers, they're more than 3 times as likely to participate in sales coaching training, whether that's training like today's or more intensive training. And I think because they're better at it, they spend more of their time doing that. So I know Ray and I have kind of shared a number of thoughts, but I want to turn it over to Ray and really get some of your thoughts. And so for those of you who are on mute, we'll probably unmute you. We'd like to either have you type into the questions or just answer verbally. And this is really the topic of good coaching and bad coaching. And Ray, I'll turn it back to you for that topic.
Yeah, you know, it's always good to start with that mindset of, well, what does good coaching feel like? And what are we looking for? And also, you know, maybe we've had some bad experiences, so trying to avoid those. But what we'd like to do is use the question box. So if you locate that on your right-hand side, and you could just type in, if you would, just the first bullet to start with, which is think of a great coach. And this may, you may need to go to the Wayback Machine, right? But think back into your past. Maybe it was in high school and college and in sports along the way. Maybe it was a great mentor or manager you had, but it, when you had a good coach, what did that feel like? And if you wouldn't mind, we'll just give you a minute or so to type this in. What are some of the attributes of that good coach? So let's take the first side. We want to start on the positive. And go ahead, if you would, and chat that in the question box about what was the attributes of a good coach. And then we'll talk about that. And Norman, as you said, we'd like to hear from the group as well. So we'll probably have some discussion. But think about it first. What are the attributes of a good coach?
So I'm seeing a comment here, got to know me on a personal basis. That's really an important skill, is that they're taking a personal interest in you. Push you to do better. So they were encouraging you to do better. They were patient. They allowed you to make mistakes. So I think that's really important, that we can only learn from mistakes. You don't get punished for making mistakes. They were organized. Ray, you're probably picking up on some of these too.
Yeah, you know, and a common theme I heard from Tamara and John and a few others about, it's not that a coach is just a cheerleader or rah-rah, that a lot of these is they were challenging, right? They're still pushing you to be better, but we hear, you know, provided a positive environment. They were consistent and reliable, as Matt says. I love Loanna's comment, listening and asking good questions. So, you know, we're doing that first, and we're going to get into that shortly. But some really good comments from the group. What else are you seeing here, Norman?
Well, I like the idea of, you know, I was going back to, I think it's Luana's comment, you know, listening. So we're going to get into the importance of being listening. People want to be heard. They want to be understood. We're going to spend some more time on that. John mentioned practice and purpose. So the practice had a purpose. It wasn't just practicing to practice. It was to develop skills. They had credibility. That's a great point that Jackie makes. People want coaches they can trust and have who lead by example. They help build solutions together. They weren't intelling. That's a comment that Tamara just put up on the screen. So I'm really seeing a lot of great attributes of good coaches. And I don't know if those were from the business world. I'm seeing Will put in practice before calls to increase confidence. So they're creating an environment where you can practice. I mean, just really good thoughts. We've probably all, you know, right to your point, had some not so good coaches. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, I hate to bring down the positive responses here, because it's a great group and we're getting really good engagement. So we always appreciate that. But we would like to contrast that, right? What was different if you had a bad coaching experience? What did that feel like? So if you wouldn't mind, add in a few attributes of a bad or negative coaching experience that you've had, and we'll see how these contrast, Norman.
Hey, Ray, while we're waiting for a few responses, have you ever worked for someone who wasn't such a great coach?
Well, sure. You know, and I think in my experience, and I mean, I started my career as an officer in the Navy, so I had some absolutely fantastic coaches and mentors. And I also had some, frankly, some telling and yelling, right? So that experience where maybe they think they're coaching, but what they're really saying is do it my way. And that doesn't feel very good, and doesn't come away as a very collaborative or positive experience, you know, as some of our participants were sharing here.
Right. I'm seeing from Will, you know, focus mostly on what I did wrong. So they're catching, you know, they're really not focusing on the positives, and that, you know, that they belittle you. Bridget's putting in someone who doesn't listen. They critique every flaw. That's a really interesting point, because we're going to talk about focusing predominantly on a few coaching priorities. Push their agenda. Ray, what else are you picking up on here?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really interesting to contrast that with the other side where, boy, it felt really positive and encouraging. And here, I mean, Brian mentions it's fear-based, right? So you're nervous, you're second-guessing yourself. Or I think that idea of, you know, every flaw, you feel like you're being nitpicked and you don't know what to do, versus, you know, Will mentioned earlier, building confidence and building you up in front of the client, as opposed to now you're really underconfident or second guessing yourself going into that And Luana mentions jumping to conclusions, offering solutions. So again, not listening, but jumping in and offering a solution maybe without understanding your perspective. So again, really good comments from the audience today.
Hey, Ray, I recall a story once shared. I think you and I were in a different discussion together where someone had just made a very large mistake, actually cost a company a lot of money. They wanted to know if they were going to get terminated or fired because of that. Can you just share that story real quickly?
Yeah, I mean, it's a classic, and at least the way I heard it was with this multi-million dollar deal that went off the tracks, and they said, you know, do you want me to resign? I feel horrible. And the executive said, you know, we just invested $1 million in your development. Do you think I'm going to fire you now? And that idea of taking that as a learning experience, you know, that there are no failures, but just opportunities to learn, but let's not learn those lessons again and again and again and keep repeating the mistakes. But let's use that as an opportunity to improve. I think that creates a very positive environment.
Great. So if we just kind of think about this at a high level, here are a couple of the key points. One is, you know, good coaching is very collaborative. Managers and salespeople co-create and implement a plan to improve. And it's flexible. So their managers adapt to the individuals. So when you think about management, and we'll talk a little bit about management versus coaching. In fact, I'll bring up the next slide in just a moment. Mm-hmm. We really want to think about, you know, the coaching culture and mindset, and think about, you know, what is the difference between being a great manager and a great coach? And again, if we want to use the questions, I'd love to get some input here along the way. So I'm going to kind of open that up so that we can participate there. And Ray, you know, as I think about the difference between management and coaching, I think about managers as managing a group and really being more performance oriented and kind of a little bit top down. So if you think about an org chart, you have your manager and then you have the sales reps reporting to that manager. When I think about coaching, I think about almost moving that organization to the side where it is very collaborative in nature. But love to turn this back to our participants. We're getting some really good thoughts on coaching, and love to kind of get additional thoughts on managing versus coaching.
Yeah, and I do think that, you know, managing tasks or activities, right? We think about reports and we think about metrics. And that's not to say that's bad, right? That certainly is part of a manager's role, but manager and coach, where coaching is really about building that person up and developing skills. And as we'll talk about, you know, building for the future, right? So I think, you know, how do we build our team so that they're more successful without us? Versus being in there kind of having to manage every component and focus on, you know, the specific objective of the day. So Luana mentioned focusing on the individual is about coaching. So building that person as opposed to, you know, achieving an overall objective or managing activities, reports and results versus developing skills, as Will said. So, you know, I think a nice contrast. And again, not to say one is more important or good or bad, but we need to think about coaching maybe differently because there's a different skill set, there's a different approach, and there are times where we need to manage a task and get it done, and there are times where we want to coach and build and develop our people.
Absolutely. You know, I think back on our book, The High Impact Sales Manager, I think about the managers having five different roles. One is hiring and training the team. Another is managing performance. A third is managing the pipeline. A fourth is leading the team, and a fifth is coaching. And so I think coaching is one of many management actions, but it's by far and away the most collaborative one. And the one, as I mentioned before, based on our data and also reports from other studies, that coaching can have the highest impact on performance. So think about the manager's focus. The manager's focus is task-oriented, you know, could have to do with certain activities that lead to results, proposals, number of calls made, proposals sent out, setting performance expectations. So what is it you want people to achieve? And in many cases, providing direction, like maybe submitting a monthly sales report. The coach's focus is much more collaborative in nature. You're developing your team's potential, working with each individual on your team, and you're doing a lot of asking and a lot of listening. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. Ultimately, the reason we coach and the reason coaching is so powerful is because coaching creates leverage. So as the skills improve, results improve. Makes sense. And we have a slogan we use on almost all of our client presentations, says better skills, better results. We believe that when people are more proficient, their results improve. This is a big one. Salespeople learn how to solve their own problems without your involvement. So I don't know if anybody could do a raise hand here or not, but how many of you see yourself as a chief problem solver, where your salespeople are coming with you to solve their problems? That can feel good sometimes, but it could also be very draining. Think yourself as the chief empowerer. How are you going to empower your people to really solve their own problems? And that comes through great deal coaching and letting them learn from your experience, and great skills coaching and helping them develop skills. And then putting, you know, less time putting out fires. So imagine if you could really be much more strategic in the way you manage your team by coaching them to really learn how to solve their own problems. You know, we think about the leverage or the math. The average manager has somewhere between 5 and 10 direct reports. The actual number is about 7. So you kind of get an exponential lift when your salespeople are improving how they sell. So one of the key areas we wanted to talk about today, and you know, hopefully you'll take away many things from this session, but one is this idea of the 3 A's framework, which really creates the mindset. And Ray, I know you've written a lot and you train a lot on this topic, but let's take a look at the 3 A's.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Norman, again, as we were thinking about the coaching in a virtual world and what's different today and going forward, I think the coaching mindset is one of those concepts that really applies and is so critical, whether we're on the phone call, virtually, even in email, frankly, right, or chatting, you know, that you can employ. And it's really asking questions to uncover, discover, and collaborate with that individual. So asking first, actively listening. So, you know, sometimes we have to bite our tongue. Maybe we know the answer, or we think we know the right answer, but we're going to get there together. And so we need to listen long enough to really figure out where they're coming from, especially in this environment where everybody's a little unsettled, where things are different, and there are struggles that, you know, we haven't encountered before that people are dealing with. So I think we really need to listen to our people. And then the assume the best intentions, which may be the toughest A, right? And we'll get into it in more detail, but,
right,
you know, assuming they're trying to do a good job, assuming that they are working hard and that they're trying to get there, and how do we help them, right? How do we remove the roadblocks versus, oh, they're lazy or they're screwing up or they're incompetent, which really taints the conversation. But let's assume they're trying to do a good job and help them get there, you know, until they prove us otherwise. And I think just adopting those, whether, you know, we're on a call with them or in a virtual environment, is really a great way to change. I know in my case, if I remember those 3 A's before I start a conversation, kind of changes the way I show up and lean into that conversation.
Right. I think back to a physical world where you're walking down the hallway and you're ready, you know, something, you know, came up via email and you're ready to just start telling someone what to do or what they didn't do right. If you can just kind of catch yourself, whether that's before you place a phone call or before you, you know, we get back to normal and you walk down and you're visiting with someone, this idea of asking first is really important. But the question comes up, and I want to kind of get some insights again from our participants. So I'm going to open this up and pull this out so we can get some questions. You know, again, mm-hmm. We'd like to get your response. Why not just tell? I mean, telling is a lot faster than asking and listening intently. Why would we just go into tell mode?
Yeah. And, you know, I believe we've given the audience the ability to unmute yourself. So we would like to make this interactive. I mean, we kept these sessions relatively small for a reason. So if you'd like to unmute yourself and make a comment or go ahead and chat into the question. But yeah, why don't you just tell them if you know the answer, you have the experience, you kind of know what to do. I'd really love to know from the audience, you know, why don't we just tell them what to do?
Yeah. I think Alonzo's here in the background. Alonzo, can we unmute our audience and just test that for a moment?
The audience is unmuted. It looks like Ioana is going to speak right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so we'd love to hear from you.
Yes. Hi, everybody. I think in a nutshell, it will be we will not understand their position, and we will not know how they feel and what they are encountering, right, as potential barriers.
Absolutely. So if we start telling, we're really never going to understand their perspective. Really interesting. Other thoughts on this? Why shouldn't we just go into telling? What happens when you tell someone something? I think sometimes they get defensive. So if you start telling someone something, they could get very defensive because there's no self-discovery going on here. You're already telling them what the problem is as opposed to hearing their perspective first. Again, I want to leave this open. Any other thoughts on why we shouldn't just go into tell mode?
Well, you know, Jen had an interesting comment here that people will take ownership if they come up with the answer themselves, right? And part of what we're trying to do with coaching is get people to take responsibility for their own development. But as you mentioned, if we just tell them, they're going to maybe put up roadblocks or find reasons that that's not the case. Mm-hmm. But if they come up with it, they're going to take ownership. Paco mentions you're not giving them the opportunity for accountability. So if they lean in themselves mm-hmm. and come up with that, they're going to be more likely that to then own the outcome or at least take responsibility. I love that.
So I think that's great. If we think about that, Ray, you know, let's talk about the ask first mindset.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, the idea of asking with the sole purpose really to promote that self-discovery. You know, so whether it's that kind of Socratic method, right? But you're asking to get them to think about and to think through the process. And I love coaching when we get to the point where, you know, the reps are saying, oh, I know he's going to ask me that question or she's going to ask me that question. I should probably think about that in advance, right? So now you've actually extended your reach and created that leverage that you were talking about.
And with that self-discovery, as I think Paco pointed out, they take more ownership in the solution because they're actually coming to that conclusion on their own. You're, as a manager, you're asking questions that leads them to the right conclusions.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you already mentioned if we just tell them, they could either come up with reasons that's not true. Well, you don't really understand me. You don't understand the situation or my client. They're going to have resistance to it, or I already tried that. That's not the way we used to do it. You know, all sorts of reasons versus coming to a conclusion. And that's not to say you're just leading them down the road till they agree with you, because mm-hmm. I think that's manipulation. But you're asking questions to really uncover what the best solution is and work with them. And so, I think we want to avoid just telling them. And, you know, the final piece is we kind of want to keep from making judgments, right? So if we ask, we can probably do a better job and express our opinion after we have all of the components or after we have more perspective on that. And, you know, we're still going to share probably our experience, but we really want to get their input. And ideally, they can come up with the solutions themselves.
Right. So I think one of the things that comes up is, okay, let's say I want to, you know, ask first. You know, what are some of the questions I could ask? And I think this is a really good model. If you could just take us through some questions for self-discovery. We like to think about these questions in three categories.
Yeah, and these are another, I kind of call this the Swiss Army knife of coaching, right? These are the questions you can always bring out. And again, you could even do this before a call, or you know, if you observe the call and you're having a conversation, or even if you weren't there on the call, but you're debriefing, you can say, tell me what happened. You know, what did you notice? What surprised you? What did the customer do? So you're kind of getting that investigative reporter to say, well, here's what happened. Great. We understand that well. And maybe you help them even think about things that they didn't note. But, you know, what did the customer say? How were they behaving? What was their body language? So what did you observe? Then what does that mean? So I like the what, so what. So what does that mean? Reflect on that a little bit. You know, what did you hope would happen? What did that mean to you? You know, why was that so important? So you're getting them to really process that information and think about it so that we can get to the last step, which is now what? So how are you going to apply it? What are you going to do next? What are you going to do for that opportunity? And what are you going to do for your own skill development? And I think that's really the closure, which is we want them to take away an action. And that's the now what are you going to do based on that? So we can apply these in all sorts of situations, but just that what, so what, now what is a great framework to kind of remember to ask questions first.
You know, it almost reminds me of when salespeople are learning to sell and they ask too many fact questions. So those what questions are kind of like fact questions, but we really have to start thinking about more open-ended questions that lead to more insights. And I think bridging from what to so what to now what. So, you know, so what did you hope would happen? So what, you know, so what did the customer say when you said that? Now, what do you think we should do next? Those are really the insight questions that get the salesperson really thinking about how they're going to apply the coaching you're delivering. But you know, one of the things would be really interesting is, Ray, we have a interaction here. And again, I'll see if we can get people to participate via the questions, or again, unmute yourself if you'd like to just share verbally. But you know, what are your favorite questions that you like to ask? We've got a really seasoned group of managers here, very interested in just seeing what questions you like to ask to promote self-discovery.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd love to hear from folks. I know we have some veteran coaches, recognize some of the names on the audience here. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what's in your bag of tricks? What questions do you like to get people, you know, maybe it's after a call or after you've been riding along with them for the day? You know, what questions do you have that you like to ask to promote that self-discovery? So if you want to unmute yourself or comment in the chat box, we'd love to hear from you.
So what did you hope would happen? What were you, I'm going to look at the screen here. What were you looking for? What would this solve? That's a great question. What would this solve? What would be your end result? Really good questions. What has not been solved by other providers? Those are really great. Tamara, those are really great questions. What do you think the customer was thinking that, the customer was thinking about when? So that's, John, really nice.
Absolutely. And Paco's comment about, you know, what did you think you did very well? And we'll talk about that, but let's start with the positive, right? What did you like about it? What went well for you that you want to keep doing? And now what can we improve? But oftentimes we jump into the, oh, that didn't go well, or even the reps will immediately jump in and want to criticize themselves and say, well, no, before we do that, what did you like? What was great about it? And then we go from there.
Yeah, at Will's point of really thinking about the customer's reactions and responses to questions they asked, to statements they made. So if you made a statement, you can ask them, you know, so how do you think how do you think the customer responded to that? Paco's got additional thoughts. What did you learn from that customer that you didn't know about them before? So these are great questions to promote self-discovery, and they all tie in very much to this concept of asking first.
Absolutely. Yeah. Great input from the audience.
Thank you. Thank you all for participating. So if we think about assuming the best intentions, as Ray mentioned, it's not always easy to assume the best intentions. And the reason for that is these are people that you know, these are people that you've worked with, and you may have already formed some biases, but at least from a coaching perspective, you want to stay neutral. And I think particularly now where people's lives have really been disrupted, you have to stay neutral, and people do have other challenges. And any kind, if you bring a bias to the call, they're going to pick up to that in your tone, and that, like telling, is going to create some level of defensiveness. Also, you want to understand the salesperson's point of view. So often we jump to conclusions, but we haven't really taken the time to understand what the salesperson's perspectives are. And then this is just a rule of thumb that comes up in many times in our training. We really want to avoid judgments. We want to focus on specifics. So if you observe something, maybe to Ray's point, you were playing back a call and you heard something, be very specific. Don't provide a generality. Well, I don't think you did a good job of responding to the customer's questions. You might say, you know, instead, when the customer mentioned that they were concerned about the price point, you know, then you could have a very focused where you're focusing on something you observed. And the reason we want to focus on those behaviors as opposed to judgments is because the behaviors are objectives and the judgments will result in defensiveness. People don't want to feel that they're being judged. And just touch on the third A, actively listening. Well, there's a lot of reasons to actively listen, but think about it from your salesperson's perspective. They're going to feel important. They're going to feel like they're understood. We talked about empathy before. They're going to feel appreciated and respected. So it's going to, you know, some of those attributes of the great coach are going to come across in the way you make that person feel. And hopefully when they're talking about you to someone else, you're going to be in that category of a great sales coach. And then what does it help you do? So it helps you prevent misunderstandings. So Ray, have you ever been in a situation where you were sure you knew what the person was going to say next?
Absolutely, because we're listening to respond, not listening to really understand. And I think we have to slow down and be patient. And as I said, maybe bite our tongue for a little bit to really let them finish. And sometimes it takes people a while to process and to communicate, but we want to jump in and finish their sentences, or we already think we know the answer. We don't give them a chance to really respond.
Right. And sometimes we might just be wrong. Sometimes the salesperson thinks they know exactly what the customer is going to say, and they didn't take enough time to ask questions and listen, and they missed on one of the key points. So it really helps you discover what's important. So we've talked about building a coaching culture and mindset, and we want to get now a little bit to delivering training, sales coaching. And talk about specifically how you can develop your team, even though we're kind of sidelined, or many of us are sidelined during this period. It's a great time for skill building. So, Ray, can you kind of give us some insights on developing the team? And again, we'll try and pull in a little bit of participation from our participants as well.
Yeah, you know, in coaching, I mean, it gets kicked around in a lot of different ways, and mentoring and coaching and deal coaching. I mean, we like to think of it in two buckets, really, is opportunity coaching, or that's where you're helping advance a deal. We'll talk a little bit more specifics there. And skills coaching, which is building the capabilities of your team or of that individual. And that's a little longer term play. It takes a little bit more thought process and a little longer time frame. But both types of coaching here are critically important. And I think now we want to think about in combination, right? We can't afford to lose any deals we have in the pipeline. So opportunity coaching is super critical. And then how can we use that to continue to build skills and sharpen the saw, as we say, so that, you know, they're more capable, they're ready, and really they're responding to some of these new challenges as we come out, you know, in this post-COVID or post-corona world. So, you know, the way we break that down, we think about opportunity coaching on the left side. That's, you know, there's a particular account or deal that we're helping to problem solve. So how do we advance that? That might be on a weekly pipeline review or a deal review, a pursuit meeting that we're really diving into. How can we help advance that? And that could be going on, I mean, these days, probably not in person, but phone or virtual, and as needed basis. Where skills coaching is where we're really thinking more about that reps development and where are two or three things that if they did better, if they asked better questions, or if they negotiated a little bit more effectively, or if they presented their value proposition, what are those things that we can work with them that's really going to improve and move the dial for them? So I think in combination, we can think about those two things. But skills coaching is typically a longer term, okay, over this quarter, let's look at these particular skills, let's observe, let's follow up, and let's put a plan in place. Maybe it's some additional training, some role playing, some practice that we can do to continue to improve those skills. But a lot of times I think we just think of coaching as, hey, let's help them win that deal. And I think that shortchanges maybe developing their skills for the long haul.
Right. So I think it's really important. Let's take a look at each of these just a little bit more granularly. Let's talk about the opportunity or deal coaching. And so you mentioned, you know, what's in the pipeline now is really important. You know, really critical. We eventually will emerge from coronavirus, and we want to have a robust pipeline when we do. So, these are just good checkpoints. So, what is the business need? Is there still a compelling business need? Is there a budget identified? Maybe it's on pause for now. Do we know what it is? Do we know who the decision makers are? What's their decision making criteria process? How will you influence the buying criteria? How well does our solution align with them? You know, does it fit the buying criteria? You know, is it going to be a profitable deal? If we have to discount, what's going to happen? You know, who's the competition? Why are we going to win? What's the timing? Is there urgency? What's the revenue potential? What are the relationships? So there's a lot of great kind of one-on-one discussions. As Ray mentioned, this is really specific to as you do a pipeline review. And again, we recognize that in some industries, many things in the pipeline may be stalled. It's a great time to go back and just start re-qualifying those opportunities and maybe think about what adjustments we might need to make. We may need to understand, is there still a business need? You know, what's going on with decision-making? We've heard from some of our clients, some of them have budget freezes. Well, what's the decision-making process? When will that get reevaluated? And so I think just right now is a great time to review pipelines. I want to pause here for a minute and just see if anyone has any questions or thoughts. Again, if you want, you can unmute yourself. You can type into the questions, but just any questions or thoughts about the opportunity coaching questions? And Ray, I'm just curious from your perspective, as we think about what questions might be most important now, any of these that really jump out at you as being most important or timely right now?
Well, you know, this goes into a little bit more depth than just BANT, right, which people are probably familiar with. But, you know, what do we have budget, authority, need, and timing? Do we understand those things? But as coaching questions, I think it's great to sit down if we're looking at a deal and just remember, why are they going to do this, right? What is that business need that's driving this? what's the timing and what happens if it doesn't move forward? Is there any urgency? I think today that's maybe one of the most important, which is, does this have to happen this quarter? Is everything on hold? Are they going to free budget up? You know, what's driving this this opportunity versus the client may sound like everything's in line, but there's no opportunity to really get approval. So diving into those questions about who's going to make the decision and who ultimately signs off, I think those are really important today, you know, maybe more than ever.
Right. I'm seeing a couple of questions that popped up, or a couple of comments. So first of all, Brian says these are great questions. So thank you, Brian. And agrees that the timing, you know, is really crucial right now, because we are seeing, at least in certain industries, we're seeing that some opportunities are frozen. And Tracy, you asked if we're going to be willing to share a copy of our deck. Absolutely. And there's a comment here. I just want to, I'm leaning forward a little bit, so I've got my camera off. There's an old adage that when business is down or slow to build and strengthen our relationships with relationship questions. So we want to really think about solution options and tools available to the team. And I think that's right. Remember, when we start this this type of opportunity coaching, it really needs to be in a very collaborative, investigative way. Salespeople, like managers, may be very frustrated, particularly those that are highly reliant on commission, which is most salespeople, that their deals are stuck. We don't need to remind them that the deal is stuck. This is really just reminding them that the coronavirus won't be around forever, and that we want to be able to have a conversation with them to really re-qualify and understand what we could do as a manager to help them move this forward. So I think it's also important not just to ask the questions, but also share your experiences, what you can do if a deal is stuck, what you think the path forward is. Ray often uses a term called pursuit meeting internally, and we have larger strategic deals. We'll actually sit down and we'll have a group meeting. We'll pull in someone from product development, and we'll start talking about the opportunity. What is it we can do as a team? So the salesperson doesn't feel like they're just in there alone. They're getting the help they need from you as their manager, and potentially other resources within your organization. So I want to shift to skills
and
coaching.
And Norman, just before we move on, because I see a couple of people off mute, but I think Will might have had a comment. It looks like he's off mute, and anybody else who wants to chime in here.
Please.
So, Will, did you have a thought?
Yeah, I was thinking that, and my own experience shows that this is like a really good opportunity to provide that extra value that we always talk about. And sometimes, especially at a point like this, it's a real good opportunity just to check in with people on a personal level, not just the business level, but to really kind of empathize with them, ask them how they're dealing with it, not just from a business standpoint, but from a personal and emotional standpoint too, to really build that personal relationship or you know, just build it further.
Well, I think that's a really good point. I think it gets to that whole notion of the good coaching. One of the attributes that we saw of a good coach is they take a personal interest in people. And I think whether we're reaching out to customers, reaching out to reps, which are our customers as managers, always starting out, particularly in a challenging environment like this, you know, how are they doing personally? How are their families? And making sure, you know, much like we would go and build a rapport on a sales call, making sure we're doing things to show empathy and develop trust and kind of guiding them. They have to understand the purpose of the coaching. The purpose of the coaching isn't necessarily to help them close more business this month. The purpose of the coaching is to emerge from coronavirus with the best pipeline possible and to use this opportunity to build skills, because this is a great opportunity while we're working from our homes predominantly to think about skills development. Other thoughts or questions before we move to skills development? Ray, anything else that you had on that?
No, it really resonated, Will's comments, because I think the relationships that we build and foster now will pay off in the future. And we have to do that. You know, we both read The Go-Giver, Norman, and I think it's a really nice approach to say, hey, pay it forward without any expectation of immediate return, but do it because, as Alonzo says, right, because we're generous and that we want to offer our insights or we want to help. Now's the time to think about being that consultative salesperson without pushing to close the deal, but how can we help solve problems? And I believe that that's going to come back. And those who emerge, like with any recession, out the other side will be stronger because of that, while others, you know, may be struggling. as they come out. So I think we really need to be investing in those relationships, as several people pointed out.
Right. And I follow a gentleman named Sean Murray, who does a lot of great writing, runs a company called Real Time Performance. And he mentioned, you know, even though that we're, you know, physically distanced, he actually thinks that social distance can become much stronger because people are looking for ways to connect. They don't want to just sit in their home office alone. They want to know that their manager is there to support them. And another way to do that is to really think about skills. And so often we assess skills. I don't know that right now is a perfect time for an assessment, but I think if you think about selling skills, your salespeople probably use more than half of these skills in how they interact with prospective clients or current clients. And I think a great idea would be just even to share with them these 8 skills and said, you know, if we took the next couple of months while things are just a little bit slower, although in some industries they're not slower, but just took the next couple of months and said, let's work on 2 to 3 skills that we could work on together to improve. And this gets to using those simulations that we mentioned earlier. If it's developing needs, you know, what are some great questions we can ask? Maybe we can collaborate on some questions via email. If it's managing feedback, what are those top 2 or 3 objections we expect and how will we better address those objections? You know, whether that's using an objection handling model or just relying on experience. You know, to our surprise, Ray, you ran a webinar, I think it was last week, on prospecting. And maybe we're thinking that a lot of people aren't prospecting right now, just kind of given the environment, but we had a record number of people sign up for that, and people were really interested. How do I prospect, and how do I do it differently and respectfully? And that gets to some of Will's comments in an environment where, you know, you're not just, you know, doing prospecting to identify new opportunities, but you're doing prospecting more to build relationships. And Ray, any thoughts on the prospecting piece? Because it really was a shock to me. There was over 500 people that registered for that webinar.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, one of the questions we asked at the onset is, are you doing less prospecting, about the same, or more prospecting? And a large percentage of the audience, you know, said things were slowing down because they obviously aren't going to call on people if they can't, you know, have a meeting. But can you still build the relationship, right? Can you still reach out? Can you offer something even without expecting that you're going to close business right now? And so a number of people said they were actually prospecting more in this time, but prospecting in a different way, as you mentioned, which is, hey, let's check in. Let's see what challenges you have. And creatively, maybe we can come up with a solution to help you solve that in the meantime, while things are, you know, hopefully returning to normal in the future, or more normal. So I think, yeah, we need to be very careful. I think the one thing and message I took away from that was the automated messaging and scripts that go out that say, hey, I've sent you 3 emails and I haven't heard from you. You must be really busy. You know, those are falling on deaf ears and in fact are pretty offensive these days because, yeah, you have a lot of other things to worry about. We need to change that approach, but that doesn't mean to stop reaching out or stop connecting. It's more important than ever. And we need to help our reps understand that through good coaching as well.
So I want to just, first of all, Bridget, thank you very much for the very kind comment in the questions. And yes, we will make the slides available and you know, hope that this training has been really helpful. I'm just curious, I always like to ask this question when we bring up these 8 skills. It's hard to generalize around your team, but I'm just wondering what 1 or 2 skills do you think will be most important coming out of this kind of coronavirus era that we're in. So what 1 or 2 skills do you think will be most important? And you can go ahead and type those in.
Yeah, be really interesting to hear from the audience. I mean, I think there are some things, certainly we're going to be more proficient in using virtual technology and, and connecting on webcams. And I know we've seen if we turn our webcams on, our clients are more apt to turn their webcams on. So you know, building those relationships that way. But what are you seeing in the responses here?
Oh, I'm seeing, I'm going to lean forward with my glasses on. So I think I still have my webcam on, but that's okay. Presenting solutions to the changing needs, Brian, I think that's really good. Patience and empathy, Paco, really good. Building relationships and closing. The bookends, we want to build great relationships. Brian, you mentioned call planning. I don't know if you can take yourself off mute or not, but I'd love to explore that. To me, it's one of the biggest areas for improvement. If not, I'll just give a couple of my thoughts on that. So I'll just share my thoughts. I think call planning really gets to what are the objectives for every call? What is it we hope to accomplish? I was on with a client yesterday, and we talked about something called social visits, where salespeople are going out and calling on customers, but they don't have a purpose to those calls. So one of the purposes today would be just very much to check in with people. Value as a service is another thought that came up. Prospecting, knowing when to pivot back to true hunting. I think, Tracy, that's going to depend on the industry. I think that some industries, we shouldn't assume that every industry is flat. We have a very large client that does commercial building maintenance, and kind of with this whole idea of disinfecting, we also do business with a lot of tech-oriented companies that where things are just, particularly we're dealing with a laptop division of a major company, and laptops are flying off the shelf right now as people are working from home. I wanted to buy a webcam for my wife. I paid an outrageous fee on Amazon because webcams weren't available. So there's a lot. Yep. And Will has a really good insight here that when things are stuck, he has a feeling that people are going to be willing to move forward. He talks about questioning and solutions. And the two of those are really interlinked because you ask the right questions, you understand the need, and then you can align your solution with that need. Getting back to more discovery meetings, really good. We want to really ask questions because people's situations will have changed.
I think it's really great input. I know we're coming up on the top of the hour here, Norman, so I just want to make sure
that
we're sensitive.
So lots of great participation. Yeah. We'll give you a way to continue to ask questions if you want to after this session. So I'm going to turn it back to Ray. So we can wrap up on schedule. But again, we'll make this available to you and we'll have some takeaways. So Ray, why don't you walk us through the key takeaways?
Yeah, I mean, we covered a lot of ground here, Norman, and again, really appreciate all the input from the audience. We talked about the challenges and some of the things we can do to coach in a virtual world, whether that's before listening in, after the case, even pre-call coaching, a lot of ways that we can apply these concepts. And we walked through the three A's and some of the coaching questions, which I think really set us up well, regardless of how we're delivering coaching, but those things really still apply. And just how important it is today to connect with our team. You know, one thing we really didn't get into, Norman, was the coaching cadence, which is really going to differ by the team and the individual. But I think as managers, it's incumbent on us to think about how often are we reaching out? Are we doing regular one-on-ones? Are we scheduling coaching sessions, even if it doesn't mean we're out riding along with them like maybe we were 2 months ago or having a set schedule to do that, but we're making an effort to say, no, this is our coaching time. We're investing in our team and they will appreciate it and they'll value that time. So we want to invest now so that we can emerge as strong as possible and hopefully improve those skills and really think about that schedule going forward of how are we engaging and how are we continuing to improve.
Ray, that last point is really important on the dedicated coaching time. So I know that there's kind of like connection with sales reps on all sorts of things that are going on, customer related, account related. But I do think this idea of dedicated coaching time, and I would say minimally once a week for 30 to 45 minutes. And as you said, actually calendar that as coaching time, whether that's going through opportunities and providing opportunity coaching, or doing some simulations around skills, but not using coaching in 5-minute increments. Those are good conversations that might be more transactional in nature, but we really want to focus on a coaching conversation. If you're going to actively listen and ask first and help them through self-discovery, you need to dedicate some time. So again, my guidance there, again, it might change from business to business, but minimally once a week, 30 to 45 minutes.
The market is changing, making sales skills more important than ever before. How to transform your team into peak performers? If you want the answer, plus free resources for podcast listeners, visit salesreadinessgroup.com/podcast.